We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good morning and welcome. It is 8:06. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy. And your time check, that is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. Trump declares that Biden is worse than Jimmy Carter, who had a brilliant presidency compared to Joe.
Wow. Bam.
More details on that and many more headlines on the way. But first, Congresswoman Kat Kamick joining us this morning. And good morning, Kat. How you doing?
Oh, man. It is another very, very tough day in our nation's capital. And it's only 8 o'clock in the morning.
You know, we sit back with the popcorn and we watch, but you have a front row seat. In fact, I understand you had a meeting last night with about 10 of your colleagues and included Speaker Johnson. Let us all be a fly on the wall. What went down?
Oh, my gosh. I actually spent the better part of my day in the Speaker's office trying to work through a series of bills with my colleagues and just bringing people to the table. And I'll spare you the details because I wouldn't want to bore you to death. But I will say it is quite clear at this point, and we've known this, but I'm glad that people are actually starting to be honest about it. I had colleagues who point blank said in the room, we don't care about actually winning. We're okay losing so long as people back home think that we're fighting.
What?
And I don't know. Yes. It was said. And even at one point, someone said, you know, George Washington lost more battles than he won. But in the end, he won the most important one, and that was the American people's heart. And I'm telling you, these are elected people. it is absolutely mind-blowing to me that, and again, I was in meetings with conservatives, with more moderate people, like all across, I was in meetings all day long and trying to really push for border security in this massive foreign aid package that they're trying to push. And of course, while we will always stand by our ally Israel, I am not okay with a blank check to Ukraine. I absolutely refuse to sign on to humanitarian economic aid for Ukraine. Why in the hell would we not secure our own border, but we're okay paying for the pension plans of Ukrainians? I am not. And so we've been having these very fierce discussions and debates for the last 24 hours. And, you know, it was about midnight when I got back to my office after a round of debates. And walking away, I called my husband and I said, I can't believe that people who claim to be conservative, and these are people who, the person who said this is regarded as one of the biggest conservatives in the movement right now,
wow,
said it doesn't matter if we lose on this. It doesn't matter if it doesn't become law, because as long as people back home think that we're fighting, that's all that matters.
Think that we're fighting. As long as the perception is that we're fighting, doesn't matter whether you're winning or losing, but the perception that you're fighting is good enough for that particular person. That's sad. What are these people? Philosophy majors, you know? We sent people up there to get, you know, to do a job, to get the job done. You seem to be working hard at it. Let me ask you this. Why can't every bill just be a separate bill? Up or down on aid to Ukraine, up or down aid to Israel, up or down taking out TikTok or whatever that other part of that convoluted bill is.
Yeah. And that honestly was my point. I said, why can't we have fought so hard to get regular order where we have enough time to read the bills, where it's not Christmas tree, where everything can stand on its own merit. It can stand or fall on its own merit. Why will you not allow that to go? And it's actually people, it's some of my colleagues who I love dearly in the conservative movement who are saying that they're going to take down the rule. They will not allow the rule, which, and again, we're getting into the weeds here, but a rule essentially is the procedural mechanism that allows the bill to begin the process of being debated and voted on and amended. We've got people who are saying, no, I don't like that option at all, so I'm not even going to allow people to vote on it. And so the big fight has been, listen, guys, we fought for this. You wanted regular order. We got regular order. Now you're saying you don't want regular order because you're not going to get your way because it doesn't give you the perception enough back home of quote-unquote fighting? Give me a break.
If I could throw this in there, my understanding, and it's limited, but my understanding is, you know, the founding fathers were pretty wise, and they didn't want a bunch of people up there just making law after law after law. They want this system to be designed to have careful thought and process to it, and it sounds like some people are not respecting that. They want it short-circuited. That can only be a negative. How could that ever be a positive unless we're talking about, you know, imminent warfare? You need to act. Other than that, if you're talking about spending money or sending money, that can be deliberated, talked about, and in a thoughtful process, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have said repeatedly, and this is really where the crux was of, you know, how do we attach a border or do we attach a border element to this package? And I think everyone is really on the same page of Joe Biden has been absolutely negligent and deliberate in not following the law. He does not want to secure the border. He does not want to secure the border. And so the only way that truly we're going to secure the border is when we elect Donald Trump. That is how you secure the border. Because even if we passed a million laws, Joe Biden wouldn't follow them anyway.
Right, right. They have their own interpretation, and sometimes that is, aside from what SCOTUS would say, what the law says, what jurisprudence says, they've got their own thing, don't they?
Exactly. And so to that point, we're all saying, okay, listen, you have to get Donald Trump elected. But if you can't take conservative wins, if you can't fight for conservative wins now, why would the American people give us another turn at the majority in the House of Representatives? Because, quite frankly, I think, honestly, members of Congress up here think that the American people are dumb. They think that we all sit back and we say, oh, you told me you were fighting, even though you have nothing to show for your efforts. You tried. That's not going to cut it. And so I am very much of the mindset that we need to bank as many conservative wins for our nation as humanly possible, because we have to show the American people that, yes, we're fighting, but we're also being effective in what we're doing.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong on this. Okay, so Speaker of the House Johnson is under attack by Marjorie Taylor Greene, and now a Republican from, Tennessee, I think, jumped on.
Kentucky.
So here's how I see it. The Republicans have victory in sight. They're going to snatch a loss from the jaws of victory if they look like they're disorganized. They don't know what they're doing. This is the very time when you need to unify. Who's right and wrong in this equation? Should you leave Speaker Johnson alone, or is Marjorie Taylor Greene doing the right thing, in your opinion?
No, there is no one who can get the vote. So this whole notion of a motion to vacate does nothing but hamstring the Republican majority. And quite frankly, as we have seen, all of this talk about vacating Johnson, I know it's very in vogue right now, but at the end of the day, we've got really serious things going on. We need serious people handling them. And all this talk of motion to vacate, it's nothing more than a fundraising ploy. Ugh. And I know that because every single time someone says, oh, I'm going to jump on the motion to vacate train, they send out a fundraising email. Mm. And that to me is disgusting. Our country is literally dying before our eyes. And we've got people who are more interested than fundraising off of pretending to fight than actually getting in the fight.
I think the American people, by and large, especially Republicans and conservatives, are saying quit spending money. And they're willing to, I think, say no to almost anything. So to me, it's a win if you can just get to the finish line in November without passing things that people are going to be upset about. You know, even if it means not passing anything, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, and think about this. I mean, we have spent in the last, I would say, I mean, certainly through COVID level spending is still the baseline, which is why I have repeatedly called for, and actually the budget chairman has agreed to, zero-based budgeting. We should not be going off of the previous year, which, again, I come back to the CRs. The CRs are killing us because they're just rubber stamps of previous spending levels and policies. But because people don't want to do the work, keep in mind, we got 8 of the appropriation bills done, but the remaining 4 languished because our own side took them down.
Right.
That is what's frustrating.
Keep fighting the good fight. I know it is frustrating, and you'll probably be working up there this weekend. That's rumor has it. So just hang in there, Congresswoman. We always appreciate you keeping us in touch with what's going on there, and stay safe.
I appreciate you guys. Stay praying for us in the country.
Got it. Thank you. Congresswoman Kat Kamick on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:17. More about Trump, more headlines, more court cases. Yeah, it's all coming up on 97.3 The Sky.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Patriotism isn't kissing the ass of a leader thinking that is being true to your country.
Now, 10 p.m. nights.
Patriotism is calling balls and strikes where they hit.
On 97.3 The Sky.
NWR, not worth repeating.
Oh, gotcha.
The things I say to you after you put your microphone on, your headphones on.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm trying to be clever.
Gotta have a goal.
Something to shoot for. Yep. Something to work for.
Yep.
8:22 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Hey, perusing the New York Post. If I can find it now. I just mentioned it to you. Oh, yeah. Pickup game. Forget dating apps. New York City pickleball courts are the hot new single scene. Wow.
Really? Huh.
There you go. Forget those dating apps.
Yeah.
Just, get out there on the pickleball court.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have a great
opportunity. And just go meet somebody.
You know? I have a great opportunity for you to do that.
Really?
And this is a large tournament. And all skill levels, mixed doubles, men, women, singles, everything. It is the second annual Greater Gainesville Pickleball Open, brought to you by Betsy Papine and Papine Gives. They give a lot of money to Alachua Habitat for Humanity. I think it was $50,000 last year. They hope to top that this year, so that's where all the proceeds go to. And the registration deadline is coming up April 21st. Oh, my goodness. That's soon. 4 days away.
Yeah.
So, write this down or remember it. Pickleballbrackets.com. That's the easiest way to sign up. Pickleballbrackets.com. You'll see the GNV, Gainesville Open, will pop up. And there you go.
All right.
And if you're single, there you go. You might maybe meet somebody. Better than an app.
Oh, yeah.
How's your pickleball game?
Yeah.
So that you can ask them. Mm-hmm. Or you can see. And you can see maybe what kind of temperance the person has.
Oh, that's true.
Just remember, mm-hmm. nice people can have a competitive side to them, too.
It's true, too. Yeah.
And some people aren't very competitive, and they can still be...
jerks.
There you go. Well said, sir. Well said. That was interesting, talking to Congresswoman Kat Kamick.
Yeah.
And if for whatever reason, you missed something, the Audacy app is the easiest way to go about it, I think. AUDACY. Download the Audacy app, and then you can find The Sky and go back and listen to podcasts and stuff like that. And in case you missed, because I thought it was pretty compelling stuff talking about the Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. You know, should he stay or should he go? Marjorie Taylor Greene. Interesting thing that she said, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to read between the lines. Here's what I say. In some cases, like, the conservatives want to, like, out-conservative each other. And so getting rid of the Speaker of the House, let's just say, some might sign on to vacating that seat. And as Congresswoman Kamik said, you know, to use that as a, like, a fundraising item. Like, they put that out in a mailer right away to capitalize on it. And it would appear that they're, you know, putting their own wants or needs ahead of the country's in this case. I thought it was pretty compelling. You might want to check that out. And Donald Trump also, he has been, it seems like, a backer of Speaker Johnson, it would appear, based on his previous words. But former President Donald Trump now on Tuesday, according to Breitbart and Sean Moran, seemed to soften his support for Speaker Mike Johnson as conservatives have moved to remove him. Well, not all conservatives. During a visit to Harlem, Trump was asked about the efforts of Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie, the Republican from Kentucky, to remove Johnson from office. And he simply responded, "We'll see what happens." Now, that's a very typical line for a politician who doesn't want to get mixed up in the fracas. But it's not. It is not your normal Donald Trump who sees no fear wading into any waters, generally, right? I mean, he lives where the alligators live.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid.
No.
So for him to say, "We'll see what happens."
That was such just a throwaway, "I'm not even going there."
But instead of it being a throwaway, because it's Trump saying it,
Yes. It's
like, wow.
It's huge by how small of a comment it was.
Well, because normally he would say either, Speaker Johnson's doing a great job in a difficult position during a very tough mm-hmm. time. And as soon as we get rid of Biden, we're going to move forward. But
we'll see what happens.
But he could have said, it's kind of, maybe he's run his course, unfortunately. Maybe that change might be necessary. So he's never been shy about that. But in this one, he says, "We'll see what happens."
Totally noncommittal, which, you're right, is not the typical Donald Trump.
Well, and the other thing, if we're looking at options, mm-hmm. the other option is, hey, I'm kind of busy. I'm trying to campaign and at the same time fight like 27 court cases, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I haven't gotten the latest, round-by-round battle between MTG and Speaker Johnson, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So it could be any or all of the above. But it is for him to say, "We'll see what happens."
That says a lot.
I'll reserve, you know, judgment. I'll take my time on this one. It's like, very un-Trumpish of you.
Mm-hmm.
More on the court cases, SCOTUS, with some questions that they've asked that I think are pretty telling, maybe about a future ruling that could affect a whole lot of other cases. We'll talk about that. There's a lot of stuff still coming up. Don't go anywhere. It is 8:28. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy, live and local on 97.3 The Sky.
Here's what's trending now. On The Sky.
Iran has attacked Israel from its own sovereign territory.
The news that's trending.
Together with our partners, we defeated that attack.
Neither the region nor the world can afford more war.
Again, this is an issue that affects everybody around the world.
The news that's now.
Alejandro Mayorkas.
Senate shall have power to try all impeachments.
The news station.
Election interference by Biden.
Now more news.
Updates every half hour.
Breaking news at once. Stay on top.
News here in Florida.
At the top.
I turn on the sky. Boom. News.
News.
At the top.
Every hour.
News that affects my life.
When I need it. My news.
Sky News.
The news station.
News Talk.
97.3. The Sky.
Morning. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It is 8:35. Thanks for tuning in. The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. NPR. And
I was going to say, you said that way too enthusiastically there, Bob.
Slow it down a little bit because
be boring.
Highly intelligent people like a more conversational tone that would cause others to have their eyes glaze over and nod off to sleep. NPR senior editor Yuri Berliner, he's the guy that kind of blew the whistle, if you will, on NPR. And it's interesting because it's a big brouhaha because he said, oh, NPR's left of center. Shocking! Really? That's crazy. And they fed into stories like, oh, yeah, there's Russian collusion with Donald Trump. Yeah. And they perpetuated some of those nonsensical stories and maybe didn't, weren't true to their journalistic principles that at some point maybe they had back in 1950-something. I don't know. But they're making a big deal about the guy that blew the whistle. He said out loud what everybody else knows. It's ridiculous. But they told him to take a break, like 5 days suspension. The guy's been with him for like 100 years. Well, 25 years, which I imagine at NPR, because things move so slow, it felt like 100 years.
That's awesome.
According to a Tuesday article by NPR's David Folkenflik, Berliner has been suspended for 5 days without pay, a term that began on Friday after he penned an essay for the Free Press. It angered many of his colleagues, led NPR leaders to announce monthly internal reviews of the network's coverage, and gave fresh ammunition to conservative and partisan Republican critics of NPR, including former President Donald Trump. You see, here's why it's an issue. Because they're using taxpayer dollars. Now, taxpayer dollars used to inform the public of the happenings of the day started out as a great idea. Remember, the population was spread out years ago. There were some areas that weren't really covered or served very well, if at all, by commercial entities like regular commercial TV and radio. You have to have a population to support a commercial interest. You know, they run commercials for Scaboli's Pizza Place. Well, there has to be enough people in the town to buy pizza so that they can buy ads. So that you can keep a radio station or a TV station on the air. Capiche? You got it? All right. So the thing is with NPR is they're still government funded to this day, and the need for their services really isn't needed. And that's number one. And number two, when you have to let a left of center agenda, which they clearly do, how is that fair to basically half of the taxpayers in the nation who are forced to fund something that they vehemently disagree with? Yeah, and it is a good and fair question. Okay, we're in the commercial side of it. We have to pay taxes. We can't get taxpayer money. We have to make it work, and it's challenging. But NPR, they get plenty of funding.
Kind of ironic that in a government funded broadcast punishes a guy for free speech.
Well, that is another great issue, and it shows you exactly how the left has morphed and changed. The left, or liberal, if you want to call it that. See, I don't use liberal anymore. I try not to, because liberal literally means open-minded. Open-minded, open to new ideas, open to fresh perspectives. That's what a real liberal is. I don't know that there's any real liberals in the Democrat Party anymore. I don't think there is. And they used to defend free speech, even when it was speech that a lot of us might find nasty, foul, unnecessary, wrong, whatever. Mm-hmm. They would defend the concept of it because they knew the concept of it was a sound principle.
Right.
There's a concept in which the country was founded in many ways. It's part of the checks and balances of our government to have free speech. I mean, it was initially protected because you couldn't say something about the king or his underwear. Mm-hmm. You'd get your head lopped off.
Yeah.
So in this new world, in this new land, the founding father said, oh, no, if people are unhappy, they should surely be able to speak up and say, hey, you suck. Because it is supposed to be, by the way, a government for and by and of the people. In other words, we're giving permission for an entity that's supposed to be part of us to then govern us. But back then, the role of government was to protect our rights, not to intrude upon them or dispense them as appropriately as some people in power felt. That wasn't what the founding fathers want. That's not what they wanted. So it is interesting that an NPR, a guy that worked there for 25 years, speaks out in an op-ed, tells the truth.
Whoops.
Everybody knows it's true.
Yeah.
And NPR gets mad about him expressing himself and his opinion and suspends him for 5 days. Remember, this is a guy who worked there 25 years.
Right.
Yeah. And
this is kind of one of those get in line kind of moments, I guess, you know?
Well, his essay in April 9th was entitled, "Here's How We Lost America's Trust." He said NPR has always had a liberal bent.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
In recent years, however, he says that's changed. Today, those who listen to NPR or read its coverage online find something different. The distilled worldview of a very small segment of the U.S. population. An open-minded spirit no longer exists within NPR. And now, predictably, we don't have an audience that reflects America. This is all logic. This is all real. He's not over-the-top speculating.
He's not really blasting them or putting them down. He's just kind of saying, here's kind of the world that we are right now.
And he goes on to say, now, that wouldn't be a problem for an openly polemical news outlet serving a niche audience. In other words, he's saying, look, we know CNN and MSNBC and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that. And that's okay because there's several outlets. But NPR... And it purports to consider all things. Remember, that's kind of part of their, you know, considering all things.
All things considered.
Again, open-minded, liberal. There's more, maybe more than one side to the story. And he said it's devastating for both its journalism and its business model. NPR later issued a rebuke over Berliner's criticisms. Breitbart reported Wednesday, noting NPR's chief news executive, Edith Chapin, said in a memo to staffers that leadership rejected his assessment. They're standing in the middle of a cesspool, but they can't smell how dank and dirty the waters are. I mean, what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
They've lost all ability to see outside the forest. They're among the trees. They are the trees. She said... And it's funny because it's very corporate-like, even though they're not supposed to be the corporate type, right? Because remember, they're not for profit. They run on taxpayer money, but yet they sounded very capitalistic when they came out with this. We're proud to stand behind the exceptional work that our desks and shows do to cover a wide range of challenging stories. We believe that inclusion among our staff,
there's a word. Yeah, yeah.
With our sourcing, in other words, you're only sourcing everything out to lend to the agenda you're already purporting, and our overall coverage is critical to telling the nuanced stories of this country and our world. Yeah. Yeah, like the border. It's nuanced, right? They're migrants. They're not illegals. Illegal aliens? Oh, my gosh, no. They're not border jumpers. They're not trespassers, no.
Newcomers.
They're migrants? Oh, yeah.
Newcomers.
And newcomers.
Yeah, that sounds
they're newcomers.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, it was pointed out the fact that Berliner's essay cited examples of NPR's coverage that tried to damage Donald Trump's presidency. Put a spin on the coronavirus lab leak theory and Hunter Biden's laptop, the 2016 Russian hoax, while harboring an obsession with DEI and progressive dictates. Yeah, that's exactly what's been going on. And I can't understand. Well, I guess I do. She's trying to keep her job. But but why the chief news executive can't even acknowledge what everybody else can see clear. I mean, I've talked to people that are left of center, and they are fans of NPR. And they'll tell you why. Because they like what they hear.
It lines
they agree
up.
With what they hear.
Yes.
And again, wouldn't be a problem if you're vying for commercial advertising dollars in a fair and open marketplace. But you're not. You're being taxpayer funded. Every American is paying for one singular point of view. Not good. Not good for America. or Americans. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. We've got a lot more to talk about. Greg Cassidy's here. We'll keep you updated with everything that's going on. In fact, you can look at the beat of traffic before you head out. Turn on the Bob Rose Show on your smart speaker. Just say play 97.3 The Sky. It's that easy. 97.3 The Sky.
Sean Hannity Show.
I know in Texas, as soon as they threw up the razor wire.
Afternoons at 3.
Well, guess what? Illegal immigration crossings in the area stopped by 99.9%.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It is 8:51. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show and a traffic update right now with Greg.
Yeah, we're talking about 441 northbound between Gainesville heading towards Alachua. Right there at County Road 237. There by the Dollar General, looks like that's where it's at. Things are backing up a bit, so just be careful there. Expect that to be a bit of a slowdown for you.
Yeah, it can get busy there for sure. All right, now you know. Hey, by the way, Whitey Herzog, Cardinals, longtime coach and stuff. He's passed away at the age of 92. And then the Sunshine State, we lost Bob Graham, former governor and also senator, and he's passed away at the age of 87. So, rest in peace. A federal appeals court has overturned a West Virginia law that the law was limiting transgender athletes to playing only in categories that match their gender at birth. Well, the court overturned that. This particular court, in a 2-1 ruling, they're the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The two liberal judges outvoted the lone dissenter to invalidate the law. In other words, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Well, in this case, really what's underneath. Judge it by what the person identifies as. And we know, we've cited so many examples of this, and I know it is frustrating for most people. The idea of somebody biologically male competing with a woman does not make sense on so many different levels. It's the only check-the-box people who are for it. Definitely not, I would think, in most cases, not anybody with any real athletic prowess, or certainly not anybody who's had, say, their daughters compete, would not be okay with the transgender thing. They just wouldn't be. And it doesn't make sense. And in fact, they even used the Title IX as a reason for overturning the law.
What?
Which Title IX was really, I mean, put in place so that the genders were equal, so to speak, in terms of opportunities.
It protected the women.
It did.
Well, wow, talk about a distortion.
It did protect them, but not anymore. Yeah, and this... You know, this is like a fad, quite frankly. It's a fad. Now, it doesn't mean that trans behavior or whatever hasn't been around for a very long time, of course. But it's reached more now. It's a fad. When you take somebody like Leah Thomas, what that's how he refers to herself now, and mediocre swimmer against the guys, and then goes into the women's division and dominates everything. Now, that's not right. That's not fair. And you break all these records of standing. That's not right. And that's not fair. And then where you have sports where there's contact, they certainly, the male body has an edge. So this terminology of that's how I identify. I would love to be, you know, a wrestler back in the day. You remember like in high school, like I had friends that wrestled and like they're always cutting weight.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
got to get your category.
Like,
right?
Dude, hanging out with you for a week assures me in my mind I never, ever, ever, ever want to be a wrestler.
Wearing plastic bags, you know? To lose that last pound or something. Yeah.
Football and baseball.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, and never had the coach say, don't eat. Right. But in wrestling, you got to make weight, buddy. I was like, no, that doesn't look like fun to me at all.
No.
So, what if a wrestler identifies, and this is a real thing, by the way. This is a whole bulimic kind of thing, right? where somebody like Karen Carpenter, you know, God rest her soul, but looks in the mirror and she sees a blob when she is skeletory. Mm-hmm. Okay?
What's that?
I mean, that's real. What she sees is as real could be to her.
Right.
But not to anyone else.
Right.
Not to a doctor. So what if you identify? I identify as a wrestler wrestling in the 148-pound division. So what if I'm a buck 92? So what? Now people would go, well, you're an idiot. It doesn't work that way. Well, that's what I say to the trans athletes.
It's the same thing. It's a dysmorphia thing. Nobody is going to go along and act like you weigh what you think you weigh.
Yeah. Now you have a choice. Hey, I don't want to cut weight, or I can't. It's too hard. And so what would the coach say? Well, maybe wrestling isn't for you. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. Well, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Wrestling's not for you. What about if you want to identify differently than the genitalia that you're born with? That perhaps there may be some sort of sacrifice involved, like, oh, by the way, you could still compete in athletics, but you'd have to compete against other biological males. Oh, well, I don't want to do that. Well, that's fine. That's your choice. Well, I want to compete against the girls. Sorry. Sorry, it doesn't work that way.
Oh, my.
Right?
And that's the world we live in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it messed up or what? And everybody wants to play the game.
Oh, it's... It's just over the top. It really is. It's out of control. Logic, common sense, biology, thrown completely out the window. Crazy. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, 97.3 The Sky.
Misinformation. Whether it's from the mainstream media or your brother-in-law's Facebook posts, you need the Sky to cut through the static of election 2024. Every move.
You need leadership, and this country does not have leadership.
Every candidate.
I tell you who did notice. Cookie Monster. He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller.
Your election headquarters.
We don't win. I think our country is finished.
News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.